One of the benefits of co-chairing a session is that you can be a microbiologist that's talking during the economy session. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about the microbial communities. And so I am a soil microbiologist, and my research interest is really on how agricultural practices affect soil microbial communities. And the reason I'm interested in this really is because these soil microbial communities are drivers of these key ecosystem services. So they're promoting plant growth. They're responsible for soil structure through hyphal networks. They hold together soil aggregates. They're responsible for carbon cycling in the system, and of course for all kinds of soil biogeochemical cycling. So nitrogen, phosphorus, and sulfur. They're driving these cycles in soil. And so we've heard a lot about nitrous oxide. And so the focus of this work is looking at nitrous oxide emissions. And the nitrogen cycle is well known, and it's driven by soil microbial processes. So we're really interested in the microbial communities that are producing nitrous oxide. And there's really two major ways that this happens in soil. There's the aerobic conversion of ammonia to nitrate, which releases nitrous oxide as a byproduct, and that can be done by bacteria and archaeal microbial communities. And then there is the anaerobic process of denitrification, which is converting nitrate to N2 gas. And nitrous oxide is released as an intermediate product, and that's by heterotrophic anaerobic denitrifying bacteria. So the way that we study these microorganisms in the nitrogen cycle is we use molecular techniques, and the nitrogen cycle is pretty well understood, thankfully. It's a complete cycle that's where N2 fixing bacteria are converting nitrogen to organic nitrogen and ammonia, and then the nitrifiers and the denitrifiers. And what we know is that we understand all the most of the enzymes in these pathways that are driving one product to be converted to another. And what we can do then is target those enzymes in the soil by specifically targeting the genes that are in the bacteria that encode these enzymes. So once we understand what those genes are, we can then quantify them using a quantitative PCR method, which just tells you the abundance of the communities and how they're changing in your system. And we can also use methods such as next generation sequencing, where we can look at community profiles of these genes, and that gives you an idea of the diversity of the microbial community involved in these processes. So that's also of interest to us. So I missed telling you about who my collaborators are on this project, but I've been working with Claudia Wagner-Riddle for quite a while, and what we've been doing is trying to link soil microbial communities with field-scale emissions of N2O. And so in an earlier study, what we found was in the field where we measured nitrous oxide, we saw in a system where we had residue removed and residue returned to a system, we saw differences in nitrous oxide production. And that correlated with changes in the nitrous oxide associated microbial communities. And what we saw was actually a negative correlation between one specific gene, NOS, which is the gene that actually consumes nitrous oxide, and N2O in these systems. And so we kind of wanted to follow up from this type of work and see how agricultural systems associated with animal production may have similar effects on nitrous oxide emissions and also how that relates to changes in the microbial communities. So the questions are, how do these different cropping systems affect N2O, and how do they change the microbial communities? So we're looking at a follow-up from the work that Claudia has been talking about already, and we're comparing a couple of different best management practices associated with application of liquid dairy manure. So we have two systems. We have an annual cropping system of corn where we've applied liquid dairy manure since the fall of 2011, a rate of 135 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And we have either a comparison of spring manure application or fall manure application in its broadcast. And we also have a perennial cropping system, so just a hay, where the liquid dairy manure is applied at 90 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And that's done in the spring, and it's either injected or broadcast. And so this is what the field looks like. This is at the LoRa Research Station, which is part of the University of Guelph. And there's four hectare plots that you can see are set up in this way. And in order to get an understanding of the kind of a life cycle analysis and a good comparison between the annual and the perennial cropping systems, we actually plowed in the hay in the fall of 2013 to see how that would change the emissions in the system. And Claudia is using N2O flux gradient measurements to measure nitrous oxide continuously throughout since 2011. And so this is what some of the N2O flux fluxes look like. What we see is this is starting in November 2011 to 2012, where you see the hay is the red, the corn with fall manure applied is blue, and spring is black. Claudia has indicated this is the snow depth and air temperature, and then any rain events greater than 5 millimeters are indicated. And so we had the fall manure applied here and the spring manure applied here, and you see that there are some different emission events. For example, one here after the spring manure applied that we can follow. And then continuing on, next year, this is just a summary of November 13 to April 2014. And similarly, we see we had the fall manure application. And in this year, when you compare the 2 years, there was a significantly higher amount of nitrous oxide emitted in this year, but the seasons were quite different. So there was quite a bit more snow this year, and there actually was a higher soil temperature that we think might have been involved in changing nitrous oxide emissions over time. So what we can do is then summarize monthly nitrous oxide emissions in the two systems. So you can see that the first thing we notice is that nitrous oxide from was 3 to 7 times larger in all cases in the second year compared to the first year, and 2 to 4 times larger in corn versus the hay system. So especially before plowing in the hay, there's very little nitrous oxide emissions, and this is when we plowed in the fall here with the P, and you see there is nitrous oxide increases after plowing. So actually, if you compare the 2 years, there's actually 6 times higher N2O released after plowing, and it varied between years, but there was fairly similar N2O emitted when you compared the spring and the fall manure applied onto the corn. So what we did then is we were then interested in targeting the microbial communities and how they changed over time. And so we went back into the field and we sampled just transects along each of these fields. And because we chose the broadcast manure in the hay crop, and we sampled both the spring and fall manure applied to the corn crop. And then Karen, who's a PhD student on this project, went out and sampled the soil and put them into tubes containing a chemical called LifeGuard, which basically captures the nucleic acids in the field so that they don't change over time, and then bring it back to the lab and do an RNA and DNA extractions. And so we analyzed the microbial community at the beginning of the study in early 2012, and then also after plowing in 2014. So what I did is just looked at, just to show you how microbial populations change between cropping systems. And what this is just a summary of the nitrifiers here, the NERS communities that produce nitrogen, N2O, the NOS communities that actually consume nitrous oxide, and then just a figure, a bar with the change in flux. And this is just looking at a change in the proportion. So if we compare the corn system to the hay in the spring of 2012, you see the N2O flux is much higher, three times higher in corn compared to hay. And when we look at the proportion of the communities, both the nitrifiers and the denitrifiers are higher in the corn compared to the hay. After plowing, the amount of N2O went up quite a bit in both systems, but you see that increase in N2O, especially in the plowed hay system. And so what you see is there's a smaller difference between the two systems in the amount of N2O released, and also in the gene abundance of those communities, and comparing the two. And then what we did is compared each system over the two sampling dates, so how they changed between 2012 and 2014. And so this compares the hay before and after plowing, and you see that there was quite a large difference in the amount of N2O being released in the system. And what we saw is an increase in the proportion of nitrifiers, a large increase in the proportion of the denitrifiers that produce N2O, and actually a decrease in the amount of the denitrifiers that consume N2O. And a similar trend is seen in corn, where you had a lot more N2O being produced in the second year. And again, you see this decrease in the amount of this NOS group that consumes N2O. And in the spring corn plots, you see there's more N2O. We have actually a decrease in all communities, so for the proportion. And this is actually really recent data, too, so we're not sure what's happening here, but it could be a matter of timing, probably. So the last thing that we looked at was how the community changed, or the diversity of the community, and we did this with Illumina sequencing. And so what we do is we get over 50,000 reads from Illumina for each sample. And what we can do with bioinformatics is then group those sequences according to a threshold value that's published into OTUs, and OTUs are different types of microorganisms that similar to a species of bacteria. It's just not phylogenetically correct, but basically it tells you the amount of diversity that you see in your system. So quite low diversity of the nitrifiers, which is expected, and very high diversity for the denitrifiers, so over 192 different types of OTUs for NERCA. So the way microbial ecologists look at this data is in these crazy trees like this. So this is a phylogenetic tree. So I'm not going to make you attempt to look at all these, but basically we can summarize this with just multivariate statistics. So all of these sequences can just be summarized into a non-NMS plot. So what these plots look at is shifts in the nitrifier diversity, and it was ammo and a crenarchial ammo. And what we can see is that we get groupings of these communities based on cropping practices. So the corn is here and the hay grouped separately. And what we notice, especially with the nitrifiers, the bacterial nitrifiers, with plowing, the community seems to shift towards diversity more similar to what we see in the annual system that was producing more nitrous oxide. And we can do this for the denitrifier communities that also produce nitrous oxide, some of the NER-S and NER-K, and you see similar trends where the corn and the hay separate clearly. And again, when you plow the system, the community shifts. And again, for the NER-S, we see this that the community is shifting more similarly towards the annual system. And the last community we looked at was the NOS community. So this is the gene that converts N2O to N2. And you get a similar separation and change associated with plowing. So what we think is that there seems to be this link between the community structure of these communities and function. So where we have altered nitrous oxide emissions, we have different microbial community structure, which makes sense because there is quite a bit of differences in the soil nitrogen level, soil moisture, and temperatures, which would drive changes in the microbial community structure. So what we found is that nitrous oxide emissions are temporally variable. So of course it's important to measure them continuously over multiple seasons, and that the cropping system, so comparing hay to corn, does alter the soil properties and the microbial community structure. And that plowing resulted in an increased N2O flux, but not higher than the corn plots when you compare multiple years of data, and also caused a shift in these communities. So thank you very much.